Good morning, this is Brother Steve again, Sound of Life, Daily Inspiration. The last few days we're talking mainly about the relationship between Father and His children. This morning I'm going to just read Ephesians chapter 5, part of the chapter 5 and 6. Here's a beautiful portion of scripture that really kind of encapsulates all of our relationships in some form or the other, within the home especially. And just has a beautiful way of bringing them all together. So I'm going to read starting in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water and by the washing of water by the word. I want you to notice something here as it goes through here, and the different relationships it talks about. It talks about the one side and the other side. Here it talks about, for instance, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. And, you know, we can focus on one thing or the other. We can take that and we can use it to control our wives or whatever. But, you know, I think it's good for us to remember just to look at what's written to us. Like, for instance, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. That part there was written to the wives, and that's not for us men to use to control them. The next part then is written for us as husbands then. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And so I just hope we can just look at the part that is actually meant for us and allow God to change us in those ways. And the whole thing is such a beautiful harmony, synergy, if you would. A synergy is something that's greater as a whole than some of the individual pieces. So in other words, we have, as a group, we have more power than all the people, individuals, added together. So that makes sense. But anyway, where it says, husbands, love your wives, you know, it might seem hard for some people to say, you know, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. But then us husbands, we have the hardest part, is to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And how did Christ love the church? He gave Himself for it. And gave Himself for it that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man hath yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So we have this beautiful balance going all the way through here. You know, it talks about one side, and then it talks about the other side. You know, wives, submit yourselves to the husband. Then he turns around and says to the husband, but you husbands, you love your wives, and you nourish and you cherish them. And then he does the same thing in chapter 2. Starts out with, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then he turns around, and verse 4, he says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, the same thing, talking to the children first. Children, you need to obey. And he turns around, and he talks to the fathers. Fathers, Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up, nurture and admonish of the Lord. Verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, of your heart, as unto Christ. Now we might say, well, that doesn't apply to us. You know, we don't have servants and masters, and yet, you know, we do. It's a little different, a bit of a different arrangement. You know, there's employers and there's employees, and we all have jobs and things to do, and people that we give us direction and whatever. I think that the same thing applies here. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And here he makes, he's trying to tell us that, you know, we're not as if we're doing it for ourselves or for men, but to please God. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And then he does the same thing again. He turns around. He got some admonishing the servants, and now he turns around, verse 9, and starts talking to the masters. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. In other words, don't threaten, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now he starts talking about the armor of God, and I think, you know, as we look at this whole chapter, and we look at these beautiful balanced relationships here, we will get to understand that, you know, when these are in place, when these relationships and those kind of things are in place in our homes, that is a big part of donning on the whole armor of God. That has a tremendous power and effect in keeping out the enemy. If everybody stays in his place and does his part, we have tremendous spiritual power. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And there again, we want to just park on that verse a little bit there. You know, just to, it's very good for us to understand, even, you know, as fathers in our homes and dealing with our children and those kind of things, that it is principalities and powers. It's not against flesh and blood that we're wrestling. It's not the child that's causing. There's a spiritual power behind all of what's going, especially, you know, in our world today. You know, you have just a complete, total rejection of authority and children. Talks about children being disobedient to parents and all that kind of chaos that happens. You know, people just completely out of order everywhere you go, and nobody is staying in his place according to how this is written up here. And so then you're going to have chaos. You're going to have principalities. Difficulties in your relationships, and again, that's the powers of darkness coming against our generation in a major way, and just destroying it on every hand. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so there you have it. You know, a lot could be said, but my time is up, and I just want to bless you all, and may his peace and blessing be upon your lives.